Good morning from Israel. This is the 19th video sermon in the iFaith series, and we're going to be looking at Hebrews today, and also next time in message number 20. Previously, we looked at the Gospel of Matthew, where we realized that Jesus is the second Moses. He fulfills the prophecy Moses made in Deuteronomy 18, that one like him would come back. And like Moses, Jesus gave us teaching, you teaching. Moses went up on the mountain, and he gave us the law. Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, he gives us gospel. And as we saw in the second lesson on Matthew, the way to live by the gospel is found in Matthew 5, 6, 7, what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, today's message is called Christianity is Superior Because Christ is Supreme. And most scholars think that Hebrews was written to persons who are either Jewish before, and they were tempted to go back to the old religion, or they were Gentiles, but they were being recruited. They were under pressure to become more Jewish in their customs, in their habits, and to put confidence, so to speak, in Moses and in circumcision. Hebrews is telling them, don't do that. As awesome as Judaism was, as important as the Old Testament is, it's just temporary. It's simply pointing us to Christ. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. These are the lofty words at the beginning of Hebrews. And he's making a contrast. In the Old Testament, God often spoke through prophets. Was Jesus only a prophet? No, Jesus is a son. So the contrast is prophets versus a son. He continues, he is the reflection of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's very being. He sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. A second comparison, comparing Jesus to the angels. Jesus is far superior. Now, you may notice that the language of Hebrews is exalted. It's lofty. It's not common language. It's literary. It's very beautiful. It's that way in the original Greek. It's that way in the English translations. But it's well worth the time we'll put in to learn Hebrews. I'm so grateful. When I was in graduate school, I was able to have an entire semester course, a whole course just on Hebrews. We translated the entire book, and I loved it. It's so important. So we have these comparisons, revelation through a son, not through prophets. Jesus is above the angels. And they're further comparisons. You'll find these in Hebrews if you read the book. In fact, if you only skim the book, read it lightly, you'll see the contrast between Jesus and Moses, the old Sabbath and our Sabbath, the high priest of Judaism and our high priest in heaven, the sanctuary, not in a building made of stone, but sanctuary in the heavenly realms, the new covenant, the old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats, the blood of Christ, the city, not Jerusalem, but the new Jerusalem, a mountain, not Mount Zion, in where Jerusalem is, where I'll be tomorrow, but a Zion, a heavenly Zion. We have the kingdom, not a political commonwealth of Israel, but the kingdom of God. And then, there, of course, there's a contrast, an implied contrast between law and gospel. Now, you may find more comparisons, but Hebrews is really just a series of contrasts. And each case, as important, as beautiful as the old item was, the new in Jesus Christ is superior. In chapter 8, we read, Jesus has now obtained a more excellent ministry, and to that degree, he's the mediator of a better covenant. The new covenant, the New Testament, is better than the old covenant, the Old Testament. And he says it's been enacted through better promises. And then the Hebrew writer quotes from a passage in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31:31, a passage that predicts that the Old Testament itself will be improved, that it will be replaced. Instead of writing the things on stone, he'll write the word on our hearts. Instead of having to be taught to know God, because as babies, we didn't choose it. We were just born into a Jewish family. No, now we all know the Lord from the least of them to the greatest. We know the Lord because we come to know the Lord as responsible adults when we are baptized. And he says, in speaking of a new covenant, he has made the first covenant obsolete. And what is obsolete and growing old will soon disappear. I guess it's like systems, it's like people, and some of us feel it more than others. We are growing old. Hopefully we're not obsolete yet. But see, the Old Testament itself says there'll be a New Testament. There will be a new covenant. You can read about that in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. In chapter 10, we continue, since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the true form of these realities, the law can never, by the same sacrifices continually offered year after year, perfect those who approach. The law couldn't bring you to maturity, perfect you. It couldn't bring you to maturity because the law is not representing ultimate reality, well, not embodying ultimate reality. It's a shadow of reality, not the true form. Now, this may sound philosophical, and it is a little bit philosophical, but you'll find the same language in Paul in Colossians 2, where he says that the aspects of the law, holy time, holy places, people, and so forth, that's the shadow. Now, the shadow is cast when light hits an object. So what is the substance? What is it that the light is hitting? Well, that's the reality, NIV. That's the substance, and that is found only in Christ. So what he's saying is we need to move on. He's not saying we need to ignore the old or not appreciate the Old Testament, but we need to move on. Everything points to Christ. That means Christ is superior to all other religions and philosophies and systems. If I had a lot of time, I could give you lots of examples. But Christ is superior to Krishna. Compare the two, the Hindu god or Buddha. I mean, in Hinduism and Buddhism, reality is not reality. The physical world is unreal. It doesn't exist. Buddhism goes further to say that we don't exist. And the ultimate goal is an extinction of self in Buddhism. But even in Hinduism, it's that we will no longer be reincarnated, but we'll be part of the soul of the entire world. In other words, there'll be no relationship, just one blob. I thought of Muhammad. It's pretty easy to make that comparison. Read the Quran, read the Hadith, and you'll see the aloofness, the distance of God, but you'll be struck by the cursing, the hating, and the killing, and the glorification of looting, and sex, and rape, and slavery, and trafficking, and personal honor, and the glorification of violence. Philosophies like postmodernism say there's no truth, there are just multiple truths. But of course, when they say that, they're saying that their truth is correct. More and more, I hear Christians say, that's my truth, that's his truth. Don't talk that way, friends. That's a confused way of speaking. We have different perceptions, but there's only one ultimate truth. And so it's not surprising to me that other religions and philosophies get things all confused. I should say one other thing. I should mention this. Many Christians are hearing about a movement called Messianic Judaism. Now, it's not actually Jewish Christians who are saying that we need to live by a hybrid, a mixture of law and gospel. That if you want to be really mature, we should use Jewish words and observe Jewish customs and so forth. This is not correct at all. Paul argued against this vigorously in Galatians, for example. It's a novelty. It's only been around a few generations, and it's unbiblical. Now, what's biblical is to understand how the old points to the new, how the law points to Jesus. The prophets point to Jesus. The Psalms, all the Old Testament points to Jesus. Jesus fulfills it. He lives it out. He brings out the deeper, interior meaning. But it will not do to create a tangled and confused hybrid of Christianity and Judaism. And so while the Messianics do us a favor by suggesting we study the Old Testament, and sadly many Christians don't, that's why they join the Messianics, if we really understand the old, we will not remain there, because the old points us to the new. Do not be attracted to any other savior or system. They're inferior. They're woefully inferior compared to the truth and grace in Christ. Now, last scripture is from Hebrews 12:18. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire, darkness, gloom, and storm, the sound of a trumpet and the voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. He refers to Exodus 20. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear, but you come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels in festal gathering, the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Wow. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? He's already made that point in chapter 10, but he's making it again. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Now, it's not a contrast between the Old Testament God and the New Testament God. They're the same. That's the same God. That's the same deity. But there is a contrast when you talk about covenants, what God expects of us, and about religion and all these things, these 12 or more comparisons. Hebrews, finally, urges us not to revert to Old Testament Judaism and not to be recruited to that, because in a sense, the boat has already left. That ship has already left. As glorious as Judaism was, and it certainly helps us to understand Christ, we need to put our confidence in him, not in that old system. So Hebrews gives us so many comparisons, so we can't miss it. We can't miss this point. In each case, the new is better than the old. I must ask myself, am I attracted to the old? Before I was a Christian, I was part of a religion that was a mixture of Old Testament and New Testament, and with most people not reading either Testament. And there are some things that I liked about that. But if I'm attracted to go back, I would be going backwards, not forwards. I would know Christ less, not more. Are you sentimental? Are you from a Jewish background or a denominational background? And you're thinking, you know, I miss the old. It was easier. It was better. And certainly, there are things that are better in one system than in another system. But look at the big picture here. Do you really want to go back? Do you really want to go back? Hebrews tells us don't go back. Don't go back. Because Christ is superior to all other saviors, systems, religions, philosophies. In short, Christianity is superior because Christ is supreme. And if you've got that, you've got the point of Hebrews. In our next lesson, we're going to look at what happens if we abandon Christ. Hebrews shows us that to give up on Christ for our salvation, for our redemption, is to fall away from grace. Many people use that phrase, fall away, incorrectly. We need to let the Bible define it, not our culture, not our tradition. And we'll learn why it's simply wrong to label someone as fallen away. That term has a very specific meaning. We also will go through a number of very familiar passages, and we'll look at them in light of what we've learned in this first lesson on Hebrews, Christ is supreme. And there'll be lots of practicals too. So I hope you're looking forward to lesson 20 on the book of Hebrews. And I can't wait to deliver that. Thanks for listening to this one. Shalom from Israel.